We're going to kick off our post-race media availability here for the AAA Texas 500 here at Texas Motor Speedway. We are joined by our race-winning team owner, Tony Stewart, and our race-winning crew chief, Rodney Childers. And first of all, congratulations, gentlemen, on the win today and making it officially into the Final Four for Homestead in 2 weeks. So we will take questions for Tony or Rodney. If you have one, please raise your hand, state your name and affiliation, and we'll start with Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, kicking tires on it. Tony, I was going to ask you the same as what she said. You've come in here twice now. But on a serious note, talk about what it means to have Kevin locked in to Homestead. We kind of brushed on that, but now it's a reality.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's a big deal to us. I mean, it's a scenario that it takes a lot of pressure off next week. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are all lumped together there that are going to be fighting for two spots. So, there's a ton of pressure for those guys, and the next 7 days is not going to be a fun 7 days, for those guys preparing for it. But, gives Rodney a little bit of a breather, gives Kevin a little bit of a breather to go out and doesn't mean next weekend you don't work hard. I mean, you stay the course. I mean, he'll tell you he's going to work just as hard next week as he is for Homestead. So you got to keep that momentum going. But the nice thing is it does take that edge off, I guess, of worry. It takes that out of the equation going into next weekend. So, it's big for the organization. You know, obviously it's the goal of the company every year to be in that position where you know you're going to take at least one car to Homestead to race for a championship. So, this is one of those tracks, and Phoenix next week is one that, they're kind of Kevin and Rodney's playground, so to speak, or have been historically. So that these are good opportunities. You hate to have to rely on Phoenix to get you in that position, but, to be able to knock it out like they did today and do it in such a dominant fashion, I mean, that's the kind of day that sets a statement to the competition that we feel like our team's peaking at the right time and getting ready for the end of the year.
And Rodney, for you, obviously y'all started off strong with a lot of laps, and then it dropped back. And I think Kevin was sounding kind of frustrated over the radio at some point. What wasn't like in the car, and whatever changes you made, obviously went back to the front, and some cautions fell, things like that. But talk about how you managed the race today to dominate like you did.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing was we had a great car off the truck. We didn't have to chase anything during practice. We didn't have to change anything on our setup or anything like that, and we were able to just work on the little things during the weekend. And we talked about it a lot this morning that it was going to be a different race. You know, we had a lot of messages last night about the way that it played out in the spring, and I watched the race from the spring for the third time this morning, and there's just so many circumstances that can change with putting two tires on, with gas only, with four tires, and we're normally the ones that I can't stand a points race. I'll be honest, I don't want to stay out there and get stage points. I want to put ourselves in the best position to try to win the race, and so doing that, you end up putting yourself in a bad spot on those restarts after the stage breaks. And he was able to do a really good job of driving back up through there and getting sixth in the second stage. And then, we stayed out at the end of the second stage to get those points and put us in a pretty bad hole. Didn't have a great pit stop and then got a penalty, the next caution, and just a lot of things didn't go right. But like you said, we made some adjustments. And honestly, I think just being able to put tires on that one time when those other guys had two or three cycles on their tires ended up being a bigger deal than what we ever thought. You would have thought you could go all night with not putting tires on. It's not that big a deal. But once we got rolling there and having a little bit better tires, it made a big difference for us. And, just kept it turning. That's really what it was all about, is keeping it turning off a turn Alpha turn two and keeping that momentum going.
All right. I believe we have a question in the press box.
Actually, two questions. So Wolfgang Wunder from Germany, Rennsport Press Agency.
Wolfgang, you never have one question. You always got two questions.
Yeah,
it's all about consistency, so I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay. First of all, congratulations to both of you. I mean, great results, three cars among the first three. I have two questions for Rodney. You just said the car was very good out of the the truck or box or trailer, whatever you name engine, and you just change little things. Can you go more into details? What are the little things?
I mean, we didn't change a single shock or a single spring, sway bar, none of that. We never changed heights. We never did any of that all weekend. So it just enabled us to really focus on some of the small things. Obviously going through the OSS multiple times and making sure that all that looked good, and making sure our splitter will look good in all of our pictures and videos, and just those types of things is really what I was talking about. But it also just keeps the atmosphere in the right spot, I guess you could say. You know, after going through the week that we had at Martinsville, that was a stressful weekend. We didn't seem to do a whole lot right the whole weekend. And, to be able to work hard all week and to come here and have things flow the way that they're supposed to flow, that's really what it was all about.
Okay, question number two. I mean, just looking at here from the press box, all cars looked very, very fast. How identical is the setup between Kevin's car and his teammates?
I don't think that's anybody's business, but the cars weren't built the same and the setups weren't the same, so they still ran 1, 2, 3.
We've got one more up here.
Go ahead.
Jim Utter, Motorsport.com. For Rodney, could you just talk a little bit about how far your team has come from the start of this season in terms of getting a handle of the package and getting in a position to go from where you were running at the beginning of the year to now competing for a championship?
Yeah, I think, I'll take as much responsibility for that at the beginning of the year than anything. We looked at a lot of different things going into the year. We went to the Vegas tests, we decided to go different ways on different things. And, obviously you have to pick a direction, right? And we picked a direction, and it wasn't the right direction, but you've got cars built that are 6 weeks out, and then you've already went through 6-7 races before you can even react to anything. And then once you react to that, you've got to figure it out. You got to figure out how to drive it. You got to figure out how to set it up. And so at that point, then you're 10 weeks out. And a lot of that was just part of the sport and part of the way that we operate. And you can't just change things on the fly. You can't rebuild cars. And as we learned, obviously all of our drivers got better, our teams, the setups, all that stuff. And you want to win as many races as you can, just like last year. But on the other hand, you need to be right in the second half of the year and be able to start focusing on those details of what you need and how to make the cars fast, but also drive them in traffic. And I think that was just part of it. It was a big learning curve for all of us, and something that we just had to work through.
All right, we'll come up front.
Scott Sully with the Flash List. When you guys knew that you made the playoffs, did you set aside a Homestead car, or have you been driving the Homestead car in any one of the races so far?
Our stuff is pretty spread out, I guess you could say. Like this car we just won with, the last time it raced was Texas in the spring. We just try to keep it to where we can focus on that weekend. And, everything that you're going to do at Homestead is nothing like what you're going to do here at Texas. You just kind of got to focus on those particular races. And, some of that stuff we've done a good job at, obviously, and some of it we haven't done a good job at. And I think you've got to look at Darlington as a key race when you think about Homestead. And, obviously, the Gibbs cars brought the right stuff to Darlington. They had the best cars all weekend. They had good speed and they had good fall off, and we didn't take the right cars. We fought hard all weekend and was able to get a top five out of it. But I think Homestead is going to be the craziest thing you've seen. With this package, you've got major restarts and 3 and 4 or 5 wide. You've got every lane that you can choose from. And then, obviously, you're going to have cars that are fast on the short run. You're going to have cars fast on the long run. And you know, if Larson can ever make it, he's going to be up against the fence a half second faster than everybody in a long run. So, you know, we just got to see how it plays out and be prepared when we get there. I think with this package, that's the key, is you got to have a notebook and you got to be ready to change things when you get there. If you're too slow, if you're too fast, and figure that out as you go.
All right, I believe Bob, you had a question.
Bob Parker's Fox Sports. Rodney, do you understand the call that was made on that pit stop? And was it something that you kind of knew, or is it just an interpretation that was kind of new because we hadn't seen it before?
Yeah, I mean, so basically that happened, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, in a truck race. So it happened in the truck race, and then it happened to somebody else in the truck race, and then somebody else in the truck race. And then the next day it happened in the Xfinity race, and Chad Little sent out a memo the next day just kind of as a reminder about certain things, and I didn't understand it. And, you know, after I got the memo, I went to the NASCAR hauler, and I got they explained all that to me. I would have never known that before that day. And we actually had a conversation as a team to make sure that never happened. And some of that, you know, it goes back on me. You know, in 3 and 4, we're on the digital radio, which is everybody that's below me, my engineers, my road crew. And you're talking about whether you're going to do tires, you're going to do fuel. And, you know, as we're hitting pit road, that conversation is still going on a little bit. And then really it's that person's responsibility to pick that tire up before the car gets to the pit stall, and that didn't happen. So, you know, like I said, it was something new that got brought up a few weeks back. It was definitely explained to me, and it was explained to my guys, but it's definitely something that they're paying attention to now.
All right, we have now been joined by our race winner, Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4, Busch Beer, Ducks Unlimited Ford. Before we start with Kevin, does anyone have any additional questions for Rodney or Tony? Okay. We'll go to Nate and then Taryn.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Rodney, first for you, just real quick. Did you say you watched the race 3 times?
So I always start on Monday morning, and I watch it Monday. And then we felt so good about things with Texas. By the time we got to Tuesday after lunch, I started working on Phoenix. So then I watched Phoenix. And then after I watched Phoenix, I was half confused and needed to go back and watch Texas. So then I watched Texas on Wednesday again. And then I watched it again this morning. So it's hard to, you know, this particular race especially, you know, places like here in Indy, you have to go back and pay attention to that stuff and what people do with 2 tires and no tires and track position and all that. And I think our situation was different. Like I said, like we were going to try to get stage points, and we were going to try to win the race. And how do you do both of those? And, you know, obviously you just kind of got to have that in your head of what could happen, what can happen. And I probably drove him crazy sending crazy messages about what other people did in the spring.
Keeps me from having to watch it.
Yeah, he doesn't have
he
to watch it.
He watches it so many times that I don't have to watch it.
But it's really just about, you know, studying. It's just like having to take a big exam. You gotta have it in your head and ready to go. And
Kevin said this. You felt like this was your best chance. You guys put your eggs in this basket, knowing that the Gibbs cars would probably be better at Phoenix. This was your shot, kind of at making.
You know, I think the 18 was a little bit better than us at Phoenix in the spring, but my honest opinion is we took a piece of crap car to Phoenix and we had probably a third place car. So I would be surprised if we're not really good next weekend, and we just got to get there and see how we do. You know, everybody gains on certain things throughout the year, and it's a different race, it's a different temperature, and you just kind of got to fight through it and figure out what you got when you get there.
And Tony, a question for you, just your experience as a driver. Kyle Larson felt that NASCAR should have penalized Bubba Wallace for causing an intentional caution, and there's been a couple of instances in recent weeks where intentional yellows have potentially not been called. Do you have any thoughts on that? As a driver, should NASCAR step in more in those situations? Or?
You know, honestly, I feel like NASCAR's backed in a corner on scenarios like this. I mean, I think there's so many things, just like, you know, the rule of double yellow lines at Talladega and Daytona. I mean, there's so many
ball and strike calls that they have, that they're put in the position of having to make. I think they got to find a way to make it simpler to where it is what it is. I mean, Bubba wasn't working for any team, any manufacturer. I mean, he was trying to take care of himself in that scenario. So, you know, it could work for you one week, it could work against you the next week. It's just part of it. I mean, but to put NASCAR in that position where they have to act and react to every single thing that happens, I wouldn't even want to be a NASCAR official if that's the way it had to be all the time. So,
same thing happened last week, right?
It gets. I've done it. At what point do you sit there and say enough's enough? And it just, at some point, we've got to somewhat adopt the old time tradition of keep it simple, stupid. It's just got to be simplified to where they shouldn't have to sit up there and babysit every single thing that everybody does all the time. There's enough rules and regulations that they have to do that need to be in place, let alone the things that they shouldn't have to be put in those positions. So it's, I mean, you can ask 10 different people, they're going to give you 10 different answers on it. I just feel bad that NASCAR has to be put in that position, and that, you know, after a race like that, that's what they got to be scrutinized for, is because they're trying to do their job. So there's plenty of things that we give them a hard time for not doing. There's plenty of things that they do right, but there's plenty of things that they shouldn't have to be put in those positions, and I feel like that's one of those.
Is that, was that your question or Dustin's?
They are related.
Yeah. So. I just like that they sit next to each other.
Well, it's because they're related. I mean, if you see, their toes are touching each other under the table there. They play dresses. So. Just makes them feel better. Well, I know, but you guys can't hold each other's hands from there, so.
Go ahead, Darren.
But in your head, you are. We know that. It's okay. We know mentally you guys are touching each other at all times. So.
On that note.
Aren't you glad I came in here twice this weekend? Damn it. Missed you guys.
Wait a second. Where's Gene?
Gene's long gone by now. Gene's smart. He says, I'm not going to the media center.
All right, Taryn, ask your question.
All right. Taryn Walk, NASCAR.com. This one's for Tony. What do you think about the guy next to you tying you at 49 career wins now?
Well, I hate to say this because I don't hate to say this. I'm excited about the fact that he's going to far surpass this landmark, but I'm really proud that the night that he did tie it, that it's on a night that was so significant. I mean, this is a big win. It's not just an early season win or a second win that doesn't mean anything. This is the win that, you know, locks him into to running for a championship at Homestead. So,
and like he's here. So that's pretty cool.
It just happened I was around in the neighborhood this week.
Right.
So, but you know, it's cool to be here and be a part of it with him. But you know, I can promise you, he's going to far surpass this and be long gone, and I'll be left in the weeds on that stat long after. I would say there's a really good shot in 7 days that stat will be non-existent again.
What did that mean to you, Harvick, hearing him say all that?
Well, you know, we did all this, you know, in the only conversations that we talked about were, we want to win races and have a chance to win championships, and you know, I think that the faith that he and his group put in letting us, you know, talk them into going out and hiring him and putting the faith in him and going out and hiring the guys that he wanted to hire when we bought the team. I mean, or when we built the team, you know, we didn't have a truck, we didn't have a trailer, we didn't have a race car, and they let us do everything how we wanted from the very beginning. And you know, it's kind of reshaped and molded and changed the, you know, things at SHR. And it's, you know, last year, I mean, gosh, I don't even know how many races we won as a team last year, but we won a bunch of races, you know, as four drivers. And really, to me, that's the most rewarding thing is seeing the company continue to thrive and win races in different rules packages, big motors, tapered spacers, big spoilers, little spoilers, Fords, Chevrolets. Stewart Haas Racing has been in victory lane, and we've been fortunate to win races with all those different scenarios. And in the end, that comes down to people. You're only as good as the people that you have around you. And so them letting us go out and build a team with people that came to Stewart Haas Racing to be on that number four car is really what started this whole thing. And now we're, I don't know, what are we, 26, 7 wins later? 6 years in, so it's been a lot of fun. And you know, he's so laid back and you know, understands how the peaks and valleys go of this particular sport. So I'm glad he's here on the night that, that we were able to both be 49s. I guess that's pretty cool.
It's wins.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And I knew he was here because when I pulled in, I saw the car next to me had mud all over the hood of it. I'm like, oh, Tony's here.
Thank you. All right. We believe that was it for Rodney and Tony. So you guys are dismissed. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we will continue with questions for Kevin. Thanks. So if you have one, please raise your hand. Say your name and affiliation, and we'll start over here. Right behind you.
Flag. We got a cowboy hat and a flag. I'm gonna have to share.
Mark Garrow, PRN.
Hi, Mark. let me just help this before we have
get him in the right spot. So you got the hat, the checkered flag, some M&Ms, and a Bush beer. You guys are set, right?
We'll move that.
You gave him the candy and moved the beer.
I took the candy.
Kevin, how do you feel about making it to the Final Four again? Is it old hat for you, or is it a new experience every time and something to be really enjoyed?
You know, I think every year is different. You know, for me, I would tell you that I don't think we've run as well as we've probably wanted to run week in and week out compared to, you know, the things that we expect, but. You know, this particular year has been neat for me to sit back and watch the evolution of you know, how we progressed with the race cars, how the conversations have progressed, how my, you know, theories and things that I think are right and wrong have changed, and you know, it's such a process of going to all these different racetracks. And you know, it's there's just a lot of choices of what you can do to the car and the things that you do, and not being the dominant car on a racetrack has you know, made us work harder. So the thing that I can tell you is, you know, it's evolved into not making mistakes. And yes, Dustin, we made it through the whole night without having a speeding penalty, so I don't have to find you this next week to. We didn't have a speeding penalty, so you're off the hook. So it's, you know, it's, but that's the type of scenario that you know, it's like tonight where you have the, you know, the pit road penalty, you put it behind you and you're like, okay, well now what do we do? And, you know, we went right out and had a bad restart and went further backwards. And then you had the penalty and then you go all the way to the back and then change the tires and you're like, okay, well that's over. And you have to start thinking about how you're going to get back to the front. And we stayed out longer, and the caution came out. And next thing you know, you're on the right side of the cycle. And so those are the types of things that we've been reminded of this year, that you have to think about things outside of the box, because the box changes a lot. Obviously, the rules changed a tremendous amount this year, and the thought processes and the things that you've done in the past are irrelevant. So, you know, anytime you hear about, you know, we did this last year, it's like I just stop them and say, you know, there's no reason to talk about last year because it is absolutely irrelevant to the things that we've done. So the day that you stop thinking about how you're going to evolve and get stuck in today and what you did yesterday is the day that this sport will leave you behind. You have to be very open-minded and you know, this is a progressive sport, and you have to keep up with that progression on a weekly basis because it changes rapidly. And those are the types of things that I have really enjoyed this year. Even though we haven't been the dominant car, we've figured out how to win. We've figured out how to run fast and you know, put ourselves in position to have chances to win races. And we've capitalized on the few chances that we've been in position to win. And that's really... It's been a good character building year to have to battle in order to get yourself in position.
So what's your overriding emotion now, Kevin? Is it relief that you've overcome all that this year to get to the Final Four? What are you feeling?
I'm surprised, to be dead honest with you. You know, I'm surprised, but I'm not. But you know, I think you know, the expectations are always there. You know, I think for me, I still feel like, you know, this was our best chance to win. I know Rodney, he's always the positive one. And I tell you guys, I've told you guys that before. There's at some point, he's going to talk me into thinking that we can win every single race. I can think about, probably not. I don't know. We didn't run that well, and he'll have 10 reasons why the car is going to be better. And every week, it's man, this is the best car we've ever had. We did this, and this wrong last time. This is what we've changed, and this is why it's going to be better. And he can present it. By the time we start practice, I'm like, man, we're gonna win this race. So I'm surprised, but I'm not. Because of the character of the team, and I love the way that it's evolved and the battle that we've had to get there and really try to achieve something that wasn't really achievable when we first started the season this year. And we've grounded out all year. My note from Mr. Gossage there that he wrote me this year that was sitting in my bus this year, it said, "You've had the strangest year that I've seen you have in a long time, but here you are still battling for a championship." And that was him writing that note, watching the races in the season, and that's really how it feels for me as well. You know, it's been a strange year, and here you are lingering around and wound up in victory lane with two races to go, and now you get to go race for a championship. So I don't know if I answered anything that you asked me.
All right, we'll continue with questions. Any questions in the press box? All right, we'll come back downstairs. Any questions for Kevin? Okay, Nate?
Following up on that relationship with Rodney, you know, you were laughing there that you don't have to watch the races because he's maniacally reviewing tape every hour of every day, apparently. And I think I heard that you took the family, like, to the zoo this weekend.
So is they have a really nice zoo here. I guess you were wondering.
does it work in a sense between you guys? Because you just stay laser focused, but don't really worry about other stuff. You know that he's just going to worry about just staying on top of everything and all the minutia and details and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, they expect me to come to the racetrack and be prepared. And, you know, the thing about being prepared for me is from a physical standpoint, a mental standpoint, to be as mentally focused as you can. And my age and experience kind of comes into that, I guess you could say, sometimes, because you've been to some of these racetracks so many times. And I feel like I know the characteristics of the car. But there's not a day that goes by that he doesn't send me a text, "Hey, we're going to do this." Or one of the engineers will send me a text and say, "What do you think about this gear ratio?" Or, "What do you think about, you know, whatever." One of them is texting me at least once a day, if not multiple times a day, and as to what's going on and what's happening. And those are those relationships that are constant and steady, and you know, everybody believes in each other, because that's just how it works. It's never a bad time to text me, or it's never a bad time to call me. It's never a bad time to ask me to do something. It's never a bad time. When they need something, I put down what I'm doing, and I go and I try to figure out how we're going to do it, how we're going to go to the simulator, how we're going to go to the race shop. If you need me to come to a meeting, just tell me. You know, the priority are these guys and that race team and the things that they need. But, you know, I am a thorough believer that circle of life has to be balanced for you to show up to this racetrack every single week to be as focused as you need to be to process all that information and listen to those guys and listen to the things that you do and know that I'm just a piece of information that allows them to put the puzzle together. It's a big puzzle. You throw all the pieces out on the table and those guys put the puzzle together. So there's a deep you know, belief in each other that we can go out and be better than anybody on any given day. And, you know, most of the time we can talk ourselves into it, even when we probably don't really have a chance. We can talk ourselves into it. And, you know, just by the experience of the things that we do and the experience of racing in general and them calling a race and you know, there's just that belief that we can figure it out.
Do you answer their texts when you're at the zoo? I
will. I can look at my fancy dancy little watch that the text messages pop up and I can see who it is. And I always, you know, I know that Rodney's going to be texting me on Saturday or, you know, Sunday. he's going to be feeding me something, and I need to make sure that when it's fed to me that I process it, and whether it's an email or text messages, and every week I get the most emails from Rodney as to anybody else that emails me during the week, and I get the most text messages from Rodney unless I'm on one of those stupid group texts of somebody that's got some funny something that they send to 47 people that everybody thinks they need to respond to. For the most part, it's going to be Rodney that sends me the most texts, and it's all information about the race. And if it's not, it's, hey, are you going to the go-kart track today? I'm going to stop by. Or you want to go, you know, we're all going to go ride our bikes today. You have any interest in going? You know, it's just communication.
All right, I believe we'll go upstairs for a question.
Y'all better hurry. We got a Slurpee we got to go get.
Question upstairs.
Have you ever had a Slurpee? Do you know what that is?
All right, we'll come back downstairs.
You're going to love it.
Any additional questions? Okay, Bob.
You're going to be so ready for school. Is my breath bad?
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Denny had, I was troubled today. He's 20-something points back. What's it like to have a season probably like he's had and then be on the brink of not advancing?
Yeah. Well, you know, we had that in 14, and you know, we've been in that scenario a couple times. But those guys are capable. Like, you know, I enjoy those types of situations because it brings out the focus in your whole team. And when you've had a season that like they've had, they'll be tough to beat next week when you go to Phoenix, because they're gonna dot every I and cross every T, because they know that their season's on the line. So it'll be fun to watch. Yeah, well, yeah, I tell you, you know, you guys think it's miserable to be in those situations. But really, those are some of the best moments that you can ever have. Like the thrill of the anxiety and not knowing, and just that preparation that comes with knowing that this is the day. If you're gonna be in it, this is the day that you have to put it all together. And it starts when you walk in the racetrack and you get in that car to go out, and it's one lap at a time. And you know that better be the best you can do on the first lap of practice, the best you can do on the second lap, and it better be a constant evolution as you go through that, because there's nothing like succeeding in those particular moments, and that thrill of all that preparation and that anxiety and all those emotions and everything hinges on that one moment. When you actually achieve conquering that moment, there's nothing like it. I mean, that thrill is the best thrill that you can possibly get for me.
All right. Well, Kevin, congratulations.
Thank you.